Now, a British man, let's light it up a little bit. A British man has just broken the Guinness Book of Records for speed in a tuk-tuk, which got our Southeast Asian correspondent Liam Cochrane thinking about these plucky little vehicles. We all love them. Anyone who travels in South or Southeast Asia has probably had a ride in one. Here's Liam in Bangkok.
The story of how a British man came to own a Thai tuk-tuk unfolds pretty much exactly as you might expect. I'll let owner Matt Everett take over.
I went to a friend's wedding in Thailand. We had a stopover in Bangkok. We went on a few tuk-tuk rides with the family. We just thought they were great fun. I'm a complete petrol head. I'm always spending my time looking at different cars on the internet. I was on eBay one night. My wife had gone to bed. And I found this tuk-tuk for £3,000. I decided I was going to have it, and I pressed buy it now, and I dealt with the consequences in the morning.
In this telling, though, Mr. Everett skips over the part about being quite drunk the night he decided he needed a tuk-tuk in his life. But far from buyer's remorse, he did what any self-respecting rev head would do. He pimped his tuk-tuk, replacing the 350cc engine with a 1,300cc monster. With his cousin in the back, he got the modified tuk-tuk up over 119 kilometres an hour, setting a world record and realising his rather specific dream. The tuk-tuk seems to have originated in Japan, and exports to Thailand date back as far as 1932. They've spread across the globe, including parts of Africa and Europe, with electric tuk-tuks quite the thing now in Portugal. While they went out of fashion in Japan in the 60s, they've come to be an iconic part of Thai life. I must admit, here in Bangkok, I don't use tuk-tuks that much. Even speaking basic Thai, it's hard not to get ripped off. With Thai friends, sure, and I marvel at the low, low price. But also, Bangkok is one of those rare cities where taxis are cheap, plentiful, and mercifully air-conditioned. In Cambodia, though, I love taking tuk-tuks, but only the old ones. See, while Thai tuk-tuks are tailor-made three-wheelers, the Cambodian version is just a motorbike, sometimes just a scooter, with a kind of buggy attached on the back that will easily seat four people. These buggies often have intricate wooden carvings, Khmer silk frills, and any number of quirky add-ons to give the thing some style. You tend to form a relationship with your local tuk-tuk drivers. I'm sure it's the same in quieter parts of Bangkok and elsewhere in Thailand, but it's Phnom Penh that I know best, and there tuk-tuks are much more than an impersonal transport service. Drivers come to know your local spots and when you tend to go there, so a nod in the morning is all it takes to get you to the office. Well, just saying the name of a suburb will get you right to the doorstep of your friend's house without any further directions necessary. I remember in my younger days as a cub reporter at the Phnom Penh Post newspaper, sometimes walking out of a bar after a generous session of cultivating sources to be greeted by a small throng of tuk-tuk drivers all jostling and yelling for my business, and the line, "Mr. Liam, I know where you live," wasn't at all weird or threatening, but more reassuring, as if an old friend had come to pick me up. Over the years, trust forms. I was outside court last year, covering the James Ricketson case, and on this particular day, the officials decided we couldn't store our bags at the guardhouse, as we'd done previously. So, a quick phone call, and a few minutes later, I handed over several thousands of dollars worth of camera gear to a trusted tuk-tuk driver to watch over for a few hours. Some drivers are big, brash characters, but most tend to be quiet, reliable, softly spoken. Because of all the time spent sitting around on street corners waiting for fares, tuk-tuk drivers have an uncanny ability to know what's going on. For a journalist, it's a useful way of capturing the mood on the street, although I sometimes wonder how many tuk-tuk tales have ended up as unsourced quotes in the print stories of lazy journalists over the years. That said, it's generally assumed that some tuk-tuk drivers and moto taxi drivers double as spies for the Cambodian intelligence services. One of the main reasons I prefer Cambodian tuk-tuks over Thai tuk-tuks is that the Cambodian ones are more open to the oncoming air and I can see out the sides while sitting up straight. The Thai design means I have to slump down to look out and the windshield blocks the breeze. But the lovely old Cambodian tuk-tuks are under threat right now. In the last couple of years, smaller Indian-style auto rickshaws have boomed, with an app to call them and calculate a very low price, rather than the casual agreement between driver and passenger. These Parsaps, as the new three-wheelers are known, are boxy and cramped. Okay for two people, three at a pinch. And again, it's hard to see out the sides or the front, meaning a more claustrophobic ride. There's no doubt Parsaps are more convenient and cheaper, but I still seek out the old buggy-style tuk-tuks while I'm in Cambodia, with drivers whose names I know, a charming viewing platform for the world rushing by. Who knows, maybe when I return to Australia soon, after a few drinks, eBay... This is Liam Cochrane in Bangkok for Correspondence Report.
They're great fun, aren't they? Liam Cochrane there.